Randolph, Jose Miranda, Travis Collins, Vesta Gadarz, and Rabia Afghani. Again, our website, democracynow.org. I'm Amy Goodman. Thanks so much for joining us.
And you've been listening to Democracy Now! On WMNF 88.5 FM, Tampa. We are your community radio station, and damn, we are so excited to be here. Thanks for tuning us in. My name is Jolyn Schilke. You are listening to Art in Your Ear. I am the hostess that absolutely loves you the mostest. Happy New Year, and I hope it's a great 2009, and I am so happy that 2008 is over. We started off the show with some Tom Waits off of his triple CD set, Brawlers, Ballers, and Bastards. And that was On the Road, and I have that because we've got two sort of road-related things. A little later in the show, a couple of the cast members from Spring Awakening will be in. They're touring the country with their show. And about to go on a tour of the country with his own darn show is Josh Sullivan, sometime WMNF programmer, what a comic book artist, singer for... Can't do it. DJ. What was your DJ name?
MC Total Fresh.
Can we say
Fresh.
It on the air? That's right. MC Total Fresh.
This is the same seat I sat in when we were doing the Spreadic Ska show.
That's
so insane. Nice.
Yeah. And you notice how, just like on the talk shows, we make sure that you're a lot lower than us.
Yes.
So everyone has to look up to the DJ. Well, Josh, and of course, full disclosure, Josh is like a son to me. Yes. Like a son, and worked at the Globe for a long time, and I was lucky enough to see the beginnings or the middles of some of the, and not the ends. I haven't seen the ends of work.
This is the beginning of a huge project.
So now this is 52 Friends is a project that you have. You're going to go stay every single week with a different person around the country.
Yep, it started yesterday. The first week is St. Pete.
My goodness, how convenient.
I should have every week be St. Pete. I'm staying with my good friend Andy, who also did the Sporadic Ska Show. Each week I'll be in a different city. Every Thursday is the travel day, and so next week I'll be in Tallahassee.
And why would I have you, a traveling man, here? How is it related to art?
It will, the whole project is centered around a zine called 52 Friends Zine, and I will be writing about my experiences, drawing comics about the experiences, taking photos, interviewing people, putting video online, whatever I can do creatively to show people, you know, what I've been experiencing every single day for the next year.
And the idea is to travel all over the country. I know that you're going up to Tallahassee and then going to, is it Huntsville?
Tallahassee Hattiesburg. To Hattiesburg to New Orleans
to
for
New
the
Orleans.
First month.
So you're, the point is, were you trying to get a big geographic spread of it, or was it just where you knew people?
It kind of worked out where it was a lot of people that I knew just falling into line, and it worked out where a lot of them were along the path that I chose to go. And I think I'm staying in 37 states last time I checked, and I have 42 of the 52 completely set, and I can probably get the rest of them all taken care of soon. Yeah.
And what now, coming over, we were talking a little bit about zines and comics and graphic novels and a culture that sort of seemed to exist, thrive in the underground and fade a little bit over the last few years and get some mainstream acceptance. But how come that you and some of the people you know like to do the zines or the graphic novels or this combination of drawing and writing?
I had fallen into it real young. I started self-publishing mini comics when I was 14, and I'm 27 now. So, you know, almost half my life, you know, has been immersed in self-publishing. And I haven't done it in a long time, so I figured this would be a great way to get back into doing it.
To leave the state.
But there's, to leave the state.
Leave everywhere. You leave all your friends behind.
I'm officially jobless and homeless now. But there's always been, you know, a group of people that find it a lot more alluring to do a print zine as opposed to, you know, publishing online and, you know, doing an online zine, because there's so much, you know, more mystique behind it. You know, you go and you find this random little book somewhere and you read it, and you know, there might be something you're really loving it. You take it home, you know, you can show your friends. Mm-hmm. And I have all these books that I've acquired from comic conventions or people mailing to me. And, you know, I have all these great memories behind them. I have all these great stories like, oh, I remember this guy. This is from a friend of mine, you know, but he gave it to me, you know, when I first met him, and now we're really good friends. And, you know, there's so much stuff online. You can, you know, you save it in your favorites and you might go back to it at some point, but it doesn't have that allure to it.
Now, you're going to be doing zines all over the world. I want to do like a little of the business part first, all over the country. Is there something that, and you said you were going to be online a little bit for it. I'm going to talk about that. But the actual zines that you do, what's going to happen? I mean, you're going to go to, let's say when you're in Hattiesburg, you get there and then you start drawing, how do you let people know that you're doing the zine? How do you distribute it? And then how is it that it's going to be about each place? You know, how do you have that set up?
Well, I've been preparing for this for about 4 or 5 months, and I've been selling subscriptions and telling people about all the, you know, like there's only going to be 52 copies of each one. So it's, you know, it's going to be a limited thing. So people have been getting subscriptions, hopefully word of mouth. You know, as I'm going along, people are going to say, oh, hey, you know, I want to buy that zine. Do you got any past issues?
So by the time you get back to St. Pete, you're going to have like two suitcases.
Hopefully not. I was hoping to, you know, along the way, sell them to different zine shops or comic shops or whatever I found. You know, as I'm going along talking to people and meeting people, I'll probably, you know, be able to sell some that way. But, you know, I've been telling people, this is the second day of this. I've been telling people, you know, this is the easy part right now. I'm in my comfort zone. I know everybody. I know where I'm going. I know what to do. But everything after this is going to be all brand new to me. You know, a lot of these places I'm going, I've never been before. So it's going to be so eye opening.
And then do you anticipate what, cause your sense of humor is very, it's very out there. And that's what a lot of people know you, some people know for the artwork, some people know for your comics and there's, definitely informed by some of the, early movies being made with like just crazy, surreal, whacked out things happening.
Yeah, like I mean,
there's some
slapstick comedy, and
there's some very dirty, scary, crazy. Maybe you should see a therapist stuff.
I always told people that I do comics for people that normally wouldn't read comics because you know my biggest joy in life is to make people laugh. So I would always do something really off the wall to try to get that laugh out of them.
Well, do you foresee now you're going to be doing something a little bit different because you're doing a travelogue? And so are you worried? Like, are you sort of saying something? I need to be funny still, or is there? Do you feel like you don't have to stick to any of those rules? You
can I haven't even thought about that, but I in the back of my head I was thinking probably doing some funny comics because, you know, just into day two, you know, there's already been funny things that I could probably, you know, convey in a comic. But probably a lot of, you know, some more autobiographical stuff. I've never really delved into it too much of doing stuff about me. So it's going to be, you know, a learning experience because I've always just done stuff, you know, about humor, about funny comics.
I know years ago when I went for a long trip away from home and I traveled around and didn't have any friends with me, made friends along the way, but didn't have anyone that knew me. You know, everyone was a new person to me. So I'm like 3 or 4 weeks into it, it was weird. I was really lonely. I was staying with these awesome people in a beautiful place. And I was like,
I keep thinking that's going to, you know, that's going to happen and probably will, but
are you okay with about drawing about that?
I haven't really talked about it with anybody, but I want to try to make it as personal as possible. You know, I still keep a blog every so often, but I used to keep it like write down pretty much everything, you know, like, and I go back and look at that and I go, wow, I'm glad that I have a record of this. Like, wow, those are my feelings. Those are, you know, that was what was going on. Those are my thoughts. Mm-hmm. And now, you know, I look at it and it's real sporadic. It's real, you know, just like, hey, I'm promoting something. Hey, here's come to this art show. Come out to, this concert. And I'm like, wow, when did it turn into that? You know, I started just, you know, going backwards. Mm-hmm. So my big goal for this trip is to just get back into being creative, doing comics. You know, self-publishing. I've done 129 books, you know, from mini comics to magazines to all sorts of stuff, you know, and I want to do that again. I haven't done anything like that in years.
Well, I want to mention and remind listeners, I'm speaking with Josh Sullivan, who has been a volunteer at the radio station here doing the Sporadic Ska show, which was
Sporadic
Ska show. Also has done many art shows and zines and things like that. He's getting ready to, this week is officially his first week of 52 weeks traveling around the country, staying with a different person every single week and making a zine and some online content about his journeys and his travels. I have two books in my hand that you did. One, I guess, will probably be outdated or is outdated by now because it's from February of 2003, The Best of Josh Sullivan Comics.
Yeah.
And then the other one in my hand is Stand Together, which was something that you did. When was Stand Together?
December 2003, I think.
Yeah, it was 2003. But and it was a bunch of different people, each adding a page or perhaps page to it to bring together the zine community in not just the Tempe area, but you had people from outside.
I think that was my last big project. I'm calling this, you know, my new big project. And Stand Together was amazing. It was basically my way of, you know, showing support of all the people who've shown me support over the years. So it was basically an open call to get pages from whoever wanted to submit something to be published in the book. And it ended up being 93 people from all over the place.
And I have to say that that's something in it that's really stupid.
But it was so great because there were so many people that had never done something like that before. And I kept pushing them. I'm like, please do something for this. So there's art, there's poetry, there's comics, there's, you know, recipes on how to brew your own beer. There's all sorts of stuff. And I was just looking at it for the first time in years, and I'm like, wow, my friends really, you know, really, really came through and really, really made some like amazingly creative pages for this book. And then the really cool thing is we had the release party for it, and pretty much everybody that did something in the book was able to show up, and they got to talk to everybody. They were autographing everybody's copies, and it turned out to be like this really amazing event.
No one asked me for my autograph.
I think I have a book with your autograph on it.
and so that, you know, I mean, that I think goes to the heart of it, is that something that we've talked about in the past is that the zine community is a community, and that even though making comics is a solitary and drawing is a solitary thing, it seems so community based. And what you're doing is taking something that's solitary and necessarily involving a ton, at least 52 people in it, if not more.
Yeah. It's going to be a ton of people that don't really know about my world, you know, I've got a ton of friends that are comic artists that, you know, are sort of, you know, in tune with what, you know, we do. We can talk about comics. We can talk about like, hey, did you get that new pen? Or, you
know, there's
friends of mine, you know, they get published in like Nickelodeon magazine. I can go to the supermarket and be like, hey, I know that guy, you know, but this is going to be my way to experience all this stuff, and also show people what I'm doing. Cause another one of the goals with it is to get my art out there. You know, I want to spread my art as far as possible. And since I'm going to, you know, 52 different cities, that'll be, you know, it'll be great. I can do it myself, you know.
Do you, are you going to paint also along the way? I mean, yeah, I like to paint and do that.
I've painted a lot of light switch covers, and since those will be easy to transport and ship, I'm going to be painting light switch covers along the way.
Well, up right now on our computer here, we have your MySpace. It's myspace.com, and then spelled out the words 52 friends.
Yep.
And that has a kind of entry thing. Are there other places where if people are not MySpace, some people can't get on MySpace, or some people choose not to be on MySpace? Are there other websites or anything that people can find out information, or will be able to find out information about 52 friends?
I've got my site. I'm going to update it very
today.
Soon. Yeah, hopefully today. I've been, but my site's joshcomics.com, and just spelled out, you know, how it sounds, COMICS. I want to keep a, you know, keep a blog on there too, because that's probably the easiest way for people to go check it out. But I haven't gotten around to it because I've been so busy packing, and you know, I finally moved out of my apartment fully yesterday.
Where are the kitties?
I gave them to my friend Jen.
Oh, yay, Jen.
she's
getting into it.
She volunteered, and she's got them for the year. And all my dear friends have my belongings all spread out around St. Pete.
We're all going to trade them back, and you can have your belongings back when you give us a comic.
Joellen's got some too.
I'm holding them ransom for comic books.
Joellen's actually got my comic collection.
I have the power, and your suits.
And my suits, yeah.
So I have the most precious stuff.
My suits of the ska days.
And I'm curious, I want to go sort of very macro and talk about when you're making a comic. What is your process? Do you sort of, do you take notes? If you see something, you're like, oh, I got to get that, make a little drawing, or does it all just stay in your head and germinate? What's their process for making the comics?
I've never been disciplined enough to make notes, but now I need to, because I'll be experiencing so much and I'm not going to remember everything. I've been filming things to just let me remember what I've been doing. But I've always, for the most part, I've always just drawn it right there, you know, no pencil, just pen, you know, I it just comes to me. But I need to start writing some stuff down, like doing rough drafts and writing it out beforehand and practicing and making it, because I want each issue to have a lot of really neat stuff in it and have it look, you know, as nice as possible. I don't want it to be sloppy. I don't want to just throw it together and be like, okay, I'm done with this week. I'm going to the next city.
So the process is you get to, let's say you get to Austin, Texas.
Yeah.
And you're in Austin, Texas. You're driving there on Thursday. So you arrive Thursday night.
Yep.
At whoever's house that you're staying at. So what happens? You go around and check things out. You start to draw. And then you have Thursday to Wednesday. So how are you going to figure it out?
So far, I haven't written anything. I haven't done any pages for the book, but my goal is to, at night, be working. Unless I'm out doing something, I want to, at night, start getting pages done. My goal is to do, you know, 3 pages a day, hopefully. So I'm going to be doing 3 pages a day every day for the next year.
Not that you'll be burnt out on it or anything.
I hope I'm not burnt out. Well, actually, I guess total for the book, there's going to be 1,248 pages when all is said and done.
So 3 pages a day would be, and then you have...
For five days.
So each book will be 15 pages long, or...
It's going to be... I guess I'm going to have to average a little more. It's going to be... I guess the 3 pages a day is for writing, and then there's going to be the extra pages for art and comics and stuff.
Right,
there's 24 pages for each book.
Right. So each book is 24 pages every single week.
Yeah.
That's a lot of content to have to produce.
And it's going to take me back to, you know, when I was in high school and I was self-publishing like crazy. I did 50-something books that first year. So if I can do that, and now I know more of what I want to do, hopefully I can churn these next 52 books out.
Have you started drinking caffeine again?
I finally slept last night for the first time in a month. I do need to start drinking some more caffeine, though.
Okay, so if people want to get in touch with you, they can go after, say, tomorrow.
Hopefully, yes.
To joshcomics.com.
Yep, or they can email me to josh@joshcomics.com.
Okay, or if you don't get that, you can email me and I'll forward it on. Or they can go to your MySpace, which is myspace.com/52friends, spelled out.
Yep, and there's no hyphen. Everything's just spelled out.
And then there's a live journal, or is that just getting too complicated to give the live journal?
There's a live journal. My live journal name is it's livejournal.com/joshcomics. I think I actually updated that last night.
Yeah, it looked updated.
Yeah.
So it just wouldn't stay on the screen. It kept on flipping over to something else when I had it up. What about music?
In terms of like going to shows or for doing music, Can't Do It played 100 shows. We played in October. Our last show was at the State, and basically we just told everybody we're on hiatus, and so hopefully
for 52 weeks.
So hopefully when I come back, we get back into it, because it's definitely a lot of fun, and it was such a great way to go out, you know, playing our 100th show, you know, in St. Pete, you know, at the State, you know, it was our favorite place ever to play. So hopefully it gets back going when I come back.
And song lyrics could take up a whole page.
That's true too. You know, I forgot about that, but I had thought about writing some songs and just putting them in there, you know, like as poetry or, you know, just who cares? It's my book. I can do whatever I want.
That's
you know?
And I hope this inspires some other people to get back into making zines and stuff like that, or graphic novels or whatever you want to call them.
There are a few people already that said, wow, you know, hey, I want to do this. I got a friend in St. Pete, his name's Chewy, and he was talking about doing a zine.
Chewy.
He was talking about doing a zine where he interviews 3 groups of people, people that were born in St. Pete, people that, that, you know, are from a different state, or I forget what the third group was.
Aliens.
but it was, you know, he's like, I want to do a zine about that, you know, and he was talking about it, and he's like, yeah, you know, you've inspired me to, you know, start thinking about doing something like this. And the other thing is it's sort of inspiring people to get out there. You know, there's been so many people that are like, hey, can I come with you?
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, okay, yeah, come with me.
That's creepy. To a degree. Well, Josh, thank you so much. Once again,
you
can find out about him at joshcomics.com or myspace.com/52friends, and get a little taste of where he's journeying. And you're looking for some people still in the northeast part of the country?
I'm looking for Maine, Vermont, I'm trying specifically for Buffalo, New York, but a lot of the places I'm looking for, I don't need that specific city. And I think somewhere on my live journal, I have a whole list of where I'm going to be and possible places that I have set up. But you can look on there, and if anybody can be of any help, just let me know.
Right. Maybe you can get to ride with the Spring Awakening people.
Yeah, that'd be awesome. That'd be
cool. Well, thank you so much, Josh.
All right, thank you, Joel.
And I will, yay, excited for you. Please stay tuned. Coming up next will be a couple of the cast members from Spring Awakening, a show that's at the Tampa Bay Performing Arts Center right now. But first, what should I play? I have been looking forward. January 20th is, of course, the inauguration of our new president. And that evening, to make it an even better day if possible, Alejandro Escovedo will be playing in concert for WMNF. Tickets for that are $20 at the door, $20 in advance, $25 at the door. So let's listen to a little Alejandro Escovedo on WMNF 88.5 FM Tampa.
I was drunk, I was down, I was wandering around my bed. I was drunk, I was down, I was wandering around my bed. I called out your name. I was exhausted, I was suffering from the altitude. Picked up your scent, lost it. Then I suffered from your attitude and called out your name.
And that's Alejandro Escovedo off the wonderful Bourbonitis. And he'll be in concert for WMNF just in a couple of weeks on Inauguration Day. Yay! I am so happy to welcome to the studio two of the cast members from Spring Awakening, a show that is at the Tampa Bay Performing Arts Center through Sunday, I believe. Tara's here to make sure I say everything correctly, which I may not. Welcome, Sarah and Matt. Why don't you say your name and the character that you do in the show?
Okay, well, my name is Sarah Hunt, and I play Marta Bessel.
My name is Matt Schingeldecker, and I play Georg, and I understudy Melchior.
The show Spring Awakening was written in 1890, is that correct? Or in the 1890s?
Yeah.
And then I think not produced very often for the first few years of its life, because even for this time, it's a little like, whoa, you know. but definitely for the how we conceive the 1890s, and even with German Expressionism being very, very of the people and very dramatic and stuff like that, it was still very strong themes. And I think people, the idea of children, what's considered children, your characters are supposed to be how old?
14, 15 years old.
Guys are 15, girls are 14.
Girls are 14. And then may I ask you, how old are you in the real world?
I'm actually 18.
18?
I'm 22.
22. So you're not that far away from
not
from
too
that.
Far away. We remember puberty. And,
I'm farther.
You're farther. And way more mature. But there's
of course.
But your characters are, you know, to talk about sex and masturbation and incest and rape and just and wanting to make love and stuff like that, plus questioning authority and all that, is still kind of like, whoa, I can't believe they're doing this on Broadway and then now at the Performing Arts Center and wherever else you've been and you're going to. When you first saw the show or heard the show or went to audition for the show, did you know that, okay, this is what I'm going to be doing on stage? Hey.
I had absolutely no idea. I only knew my song and the scene that they had given me. So everything else was a shock. And they actually sent me to the show with my mom.
Now, who is they?
Oh, the producers. And the final at the final audition, they wanted everyone to see the show. So they sent us to the show. And my mom told me she didn't know which character I was exactly. And it was the Wendla Melchior scene on the sex scene, and she reached over and patted my leg. She goes, "Sarah, nobody ever better touch you that way." I was like, well, okay,
ever, Mom?
So.
Yeah. Like for my whole life?
Yeah, eternity.
And then how familiar were you?
I had seen the show about 3 months after it opened, or 2 months after it opened on Broadway, and I loved it. But I actually, you know, it was a good a little over a year before I actually auditioned for it. And I was only that familiar. I wasn't like, I didn't listen to the soundtrack a lot or anything like that. I only saw the show. I loved it for what it was. And I sort of kind of left it alone for a while. And then.
So you were like, oh, I'm going to be in that show. I want to be in
no,
that show.
No, no.
And then how does it work for auditioning? Do they say, okay, we're going to be touring, this is what we're looking for? Do you have agents or moms or, you know, people that were like, oh, look, this is coming up? And how did you all hear about the tour coming up?
Well, I think most of us learned about it through open calls. Mm-hmm. They sent messages out to cities, and I got a flyer from my drama teacher saying, I don't think you'll humiliate yourself if you go to this, so why don't you try it?
Thanks.
And I just skipped school and went, and a lot of us kind of have similar story of open casting.
I know people have flown up for auditions, you know, just they're like, we're going to New York this weekend. We don't know where we're staying, but there's an audition and we're going to it. And it's like, okay. Your character, Martha, has sort of a scene changing or something that she brings to the forefront in the show changes a lot of stuff for her friends and really is the beginning of a lot of the action.
A catalyst for
And plus, it's hard to explain the show because the show is a contemporary for the 1890s, but the songs are for now.
Exactly.
And sort of as an interior monologue of what everybody is thinking and doing. How does that work as actors to be in both places at once?
I find it very freeing to be able to be a character for your scene, and you know your character and you've learned it and studied it well. But then in song, we were directed to be ourselves. Mm-hmm. So you no longer have to act. And when you're singing, you're bringing your frustrations or things that have affected you in your past to the table for the audience to see, which I think makes it much more realistic for audience members.
Yeah, I think also it's, you know, it's a little harder to get like locked into your character and like bring that home with you if you're, you know, a little more method or whatever when with your acting. And I like that. I like that, you know, I'm in my scene, and then when I'm out of my scene, I'm just, you know, I'm either watching the show or I'm singing and as myself. And it's, I don't know, after the show, I'm always, you know, a little tired, but I'm always, you know, happy. And it's nice. That's a nice feeling, I think.
There's are they doing the people on stage?
Yes.
At all shows?
Yes.
How is that to have audience so close to you?
Oh, it's wonderful.
That's great.
You get a very intimate reaction
right.
with them.
And a good energy. Right,
I would think
absolutely.
It'd be really mm-hmm. exciting.
Feed off yeah. their energy, yeah.
And the people on stage must be so excited to be the ones that get to go up there, you know, and be like, ah, we're right here. I hope I don't have to pee. You know?
And they saw this pretty early too, so those are the people who really wanted to see the show,
right,
and
yeah.
they you know, they had probably seen it before, or you know.
I would say that. I mean, I unfortunately can't do it, but I want to see it again, because now that I've seen it and I've seen the songs and I've sort of seen it, there's all these things I want to go back and see again. It's definitely mm-hmm. one of those shows which doesn't really happen that many with big Broadway musicals. You're like, I need to see this again, mm-hmm. But there's so much going on at all times, and I have to say, I love the band too, and the band
right
director
on stage, yeah.
I was just like, he was fun to watch mm-hmm. as well, you know, because he was so into it, and it seems like people were just so into doing it, you know, which is a pleasure to see, where it's not like, oh, we're very cool professionals, come professionals. They're like, yes, we get to do this.
Yeah. I think what makes this show, you know, so marketable in all these different size venues, because it started, you know, as a very small, intimate piece, is that it is both extremely intimate and both extremely big. And I think that kind of comes from, you know, the big rock numbers with huge lighting effects and stuff like that, while at the same time the scenes are very small. And you know, if you sit in the balcony or at the back of the orchestra, you know, you're going to see some beautiful pictures and you're going to hear some amazing music and you're going to see more of your traditional sort of show. And I think what's cool is that there's you know, it's a different show from sitting like on stage or even, you know, closer in different places, because when you get up close, you really start to notice the subtleties of, you know, the people who are doing it, because, you know, we were directed and I think most of us, you know, apply to like this sort of idea of acting, but you know, a very realistic and small and never pushing.
Always
and,
bring the audience in.
Exactly.
Oh, big arms.
Yeah. And I think that's what's cool. And I think that's, you know, we have a lot of people who come to see the show multiple times. And I think that's one of the reasons.
Tell me a little bit about your characters. Why don't you talk about who you're playing?
Sure. I play Georg Zierchnitz in the show. He has a cool last name, like my last name.
I know. Schindeldecker. You have a great last name.
Schindeldecker and Zierchnitz. I think they cast me because my name sounded German.
My last name is Schulke, so.
There you go. My character's name is Georg, and he has a couple of obsessions. He likes music, and he likes his piano teacher's breasts. And he's obsessed with those. And he's one of the more like comic relief kind of mm-hmm. People in the show. And I get to sing some pretty cool stuff.
Which songs are?
A Touch Me is probably the main song that Georg mm-hmm. sings.
And then what's Martha like?
Marta Bessel is definitely not a comic relief kind of character.
No.
She is beaten by her father, and it comes out in, she tries to keep it secret, but it just kind of comes up, and her friends pry and want to know what's going on in her home life. And then later on, it comes out in song that she's actually molested by her father, mm-hmm. as is Ilsa, another character in the show.
Is Ilsa her... Ilsa's not her sister.
No, Ilsa's just another character.
Played by Steffi Du, who also has just a wonderful voice.
Fantastic.
I was like, wow, great voice. It's nice. I mean, all the voices are also not necessarily musical theater voices and not necessarily rock voices. You know,
they're just
like, yeah, it is. But the show. And was it hard when you were sort of, you know, realized it's not until a little later into the show that she's it comes out that her father beats her and abuses her, but she is sort of not necessarily standoffish, but you can see that there's something slightly different about her from the other girls. And how did you figure out to do that, or how did you want to do that?
Well, I have very little acting experience, so I just applied myself to the role. I think I just took every other scene as just have fun, you're a young girl, and just enjoy it. And then that one scene going, there's something I do not want to say,
right?
And I can't tell them. And then it just comes out. And then every other scene, you just enjoy it because as is life, like you know.
And when you're 14, you know,
you love running through the fields with your buddies.
Right, yeah. And also, you know, it's weird because traumas are not, you know, I remember some of my traumas when I was 14. I was just like, that was my trauma. You know, all this other stuff is going on. And I was worried about, you know, that my thing didn't match or whatever, or somebody had something I didn't. So. Have you gotten to do now that, how long have you been doing the show?
About 6 months. Matt, longer.
Yeah, I joined the Broadway cast in April, the beginning of April, and I did that actually as an ensemble member and understudying a bunch of the guys. Actually, all of them except for Moritz for about, I guess, 4 months before I joined the tour, and then I've been doing it for about 6 months with them.
How is it? How is tour? I mean, this is first tours?
First tour.
How is it? I mean, is that strange to be away from anything for so long?
Well, I find it kind of comforting now. You get the excitement of new cities and moving, but you always have that base of here's my show, I do it every night, and it's kind of the constant, that routine that follows you, and you have the same people around you always, which is your support system.
It's like a spaceship traveling.
Exactly.
Did you get
Enterprise
to go home for the holidays?
Two weeks for Christmas.
Oh, very good. That's nice.
Yeah.
And do you see difference in audiences in different places so far? Have you seen like certain places react to something in one way and others differently?
Definitely. And I think it's also a night to night basis, you know. Weekends are different than matinee, you know, like matinees are different than nights. Weekends are different than weekdays. Opening nights are different. It depends what city we're in. But you know what? We could be in a city that's, you know, a lot quieter or something, and then randomly one night they'll be really, you know, they're really, really rowdy. And then, you know, the opposite. You know, we can be in a city that's, you know, a lot of rowdy audiences, and then one day I remember, I think, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think it was in San Francisco that we had
matinee.
A Thursday matinee. Weekday matinees are not Spring Awakening's best friend. You know, we're a little bit spoiled because, you know, a lot of shows, you know, people respectfully clap after numbers and, you know, they laugh at jokes and that's about it. But our show is a little more rambunctious and it attracts a younger audience and a little, you know, a little more rowdy crowd.
So
we're used to that. We're definitely spoiled in that regard. And that day they were just extremely quiet.
Really?
And we weren't very funny to them, I guess, that day. And we weren't very...
That was the day that we... correct me if I'm wrong. That we left and they had actually had a large bus of a retirement community that they had brought to our show.
Lots of I think more than one retirement community. This is a very older crowd.
I just don't think it was there.
Right.
Or even, you know, not that they don't like it. So, yeah, that's what's kind of the cool thing is that, you know, we get spoiled, but then we have to sort of remind ourselves, you know... sometimes they're quiet, and then sometimes at the end, you know, they'll jump to their feet and they'll love it. Yeah. And what's cool?
It was years before I was comfortable. Like, I don't like clapping after every song. I like going to the theater and now that's just the habit of people in this area that they clap if there's a song, they clap. You know, and it's sort of like, okay, I guess that's what people do in this area.
But it's a different etiquette.
I was really, that's what I just never, I mean, I grew up never doing that. And it just took me a long time to get used to to use to that. But if you're on stage and you get to hear that, you're thinking like, okay, what's going on?
Yeah. I love feeding off of it though. Like if you, yeah. just, if you hear this random laugh in a place that you weren't expecting, or they just all of a sudden go crazy after a certain song, like Junk or Touch Me or something like that. It's refreshing. It's like, oh,
and sometimes
really
silence is golden too. Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, like sometimes, you know, after Left Behind or mm-hmm. even after Touch Me, sometimes it ends very softly. It's not like a sad song by any means. It's a very happy mm-hmm. song, but, it's got a very a fade away kind of ending, mm-hmm. and it's just sometimes nice to just, you know, hear this like silent mm-hmm. silence. It's so powerful.
You know, people are thinking about it.
And I think the cool thing also about going back to like some of the older audiences is, you know, I think for them, you know, a lot of times I think we hit them harder than we hit, you know, mm-hmm. some of the younger generation. You know, I mean, even though we're dealing with stuff that, you know, is definitely still a problem, like is definitely still an issue in mm-hmm. some places more than others, and in some, you know, families more than others. You know, I think definitely the trend has been a more socially liberal culture. Mm-hmm. And, you know, some of them are like, I remember that. Mm-hmm. I remember when things were actually like that for me, yeah, you know, when I was in, you know, a Catholic school, and if I got the thing wrong, I would get hit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
you know?
And people wouldn't talk about it. My grandmother was 96 when she died, and a few years before that, no one in the family ever wanted to tell her any bad news. And so I'd always be like, hey, Grandma, let's talk. And she's like, I've lived through two wars, you know, two world wars. Half my family died in concentration camps. Jeez. I mean, she had all these stories. She's like, do you think that someone getting pregnant is going to really bother me mm-hmm. that much? It's life, you know, and it was just always so interesting. But there were people that, you know, that you just didn't talk about it, and yeah. they'd rather die of shame or let someone they love die than have shame. And those people still exist, you know, to this day.
My grandma told me about a friend of hers, a very conservative friend who came to see the show, and she wasn't sure if she would like it or not. And the friend walked away, and my grandma was talking to her about it. And she goes, I remember when they used to take girls away and have babies aborted, and mm-hmm. some of the girls would come home. And I aww. Remember that vividly. And so it was.
Thank God. I'm so glad I don't remember that.
Yeah.
Woo. And that could go to another whole discussion. Where do you go next?
Houston, Texas.
Houston. Yeah. So, and is it, you fly a bus? How do you guys get
Houston.
Around?
It depends on the distance and the time. It's yeah,
basically
it's, equation. We
yeah,
don't know.
It's like, it's 300 miles, I think. I'm not sure, but I'm pretty sure it's 300 miles. Under that, they can bus us, which we like because then we don't have to go through all the pains and hassles because we, you know, since we're living on tour, we do have a lot of luggage, you know, it's not like we can just pack in our carry-on for a whole year, you know. So we like busing, you know, if we can, but you know, I understand why the rule's in place because, you know, you get like a 1,000 mile you know trek. No one wants to bus that, you know. So
and then do they build in breaks over the year besides around the holidays? Or
we have a random layoff in July that is there for a week. Mm-hmm. But otherwise I think we're
luckier than most because our show is not necessarily a family show. Mm-hmm. It can be, and I, you know, I think it should be,
but for younger children
yeah. under a certain age,
I think teenagers should go see it.
Yeah, teenagers definitely, I think, but that's
with
I think
parents.
Where you know, you kind of should draw the line, I think. But you know, luckily for us, the venues sort of want to book those holiday or family shows during the holidays because right. that's a big ticket. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a big ticket selling time. Mm-hmm. So luckily for us, you
we
know,
get time off.
we get a little time off. And we also have 1 week vacation per every 6 months built into our contracts. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that we take when we want.
And then this must be great. I mean, for people who are doing theater, but this is your first big shebangy.
This is the first professional gig. Yeah,
and to luck into something like this is pretty big. And also it says a lot about you guys that you were the ones picked to do this, because I'm sure there are a ton of people auditioning and whose dream was to be in Spring Awakening. You're like, dog, I got it.
I'm very talented too. I remember callbacks with people and I was just like
was
intimidated,
so intimidating.
You know. Yeah. I mean, everybody's really great.
So mm-hmm. sweet. Awesome. Well, thank you so very much, Camille. We're going to go out with My Junk. Do you want to just talk for a minute about what this song is about?
This is about navigating adolescence.
Sure.
Not just adolescence, I think, honestly. I think that this song has meanings for a lot of different
layers
and mm-hmm. levels and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. Well, Spring Awakening is at the Tampa Bay Performing Arts Center through Sunday. So a show tonight, a matinee on, I'm looking at Tara and she's nodding, matinee on Saturday. Oh, both matinees, both days? Mm-hmm. Okay, so show tonight, matinees on Saturday and Sunday, and evening shows Saturday and Sunday. If you want some more information, you can call 813-229-STAR, and then you can go online to tpac.org. It's an ORG, right? And get information about Spring Awakening there. Or you can go to the Spring Awakening website and find out everything you ever want to know about my guests. This is My Junk. And thank you so much, and you know, have a great time traveling across the country. Hope you have
fun. Thank you for having us.
Stay tuned. We have some more announcements coming up, and then All Souls will be in at 2 o'clock.
His story is a pile of debris, and the angel wants to go back and fix things, to repair the things that have been broken. But there is a storm blowing from the storm keeps blowing the angel backwards into the future, and this storm is gone.
And that's Laurie Anderson. I have been listening to that song obsessively for days. So now you get to listen to Obsessively off of Strange Angels. It's called The Dream Before. Thanks to my guests coming in today for Josh and then also the Spring Awakening cast. I want to remind you, if you'd like to help WMNF with our upcoming mini-thon, which is next Friday, please, my friends, please, please remember to support Art in Your Ear on next Friday. It'd be really, really great to do that. We have a ton of needs here at the station, and we'd like to do our part to help keep us on the air, which is what this money actually goes to. It keeps us on the air. But if you'd like to help WNF with our upcoming mini-thon, January 9th through January 12th, there's a training tomorrow, January 3rd at 11 a.m. here at the radio station. We're on Sunday, January 4th at 2 p.m. here at the radio station. For more information, call 8-